I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Good morning, Rickies. We are the Junks. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today on what is a terrible Tuesday on The Fan, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Commanders drop a heartbreaker, 25-24. At Northwest Stadium last night to the Chicago Bears. Bears improved to 3-2. Commanders fall to 3-3 on the season.
It's a tough loss.
That's going to be one where if they miss the playoffs, that's one they're certainly going to point to as top of the list as far as just wasted opportunities.
You're not going to win a lot of games when you turn the ball over three times and you don't force turnovers.
I mean, we talked about it yesterday where the Bears came into the game yesterday with a +5 turnover differential and the Commanders were at 0. Now the Bears are obviously +8 and the Commanders are -3. It loses you a lot of games.
Yep. I give them credit for the first two. The third one, Jaden fumbled away.
Yeah.
That's on Jaden. They win the game. Most likely, if he doesn't fumble that ball.
Yeah, if they get 1 yard there and convert and get a first down,
game's over pretty much.
They most likely win the game.
Jaden lost them the game, but the defense is going to lose them the season. So I hang this loss on Jaden, but the defense is fatally flawed. We just gave up too many rushing yards.
Hey, look, DeAndre Swift, JP talked about it yesterday. He was afraid of Swift. I kind of was too, but he was the best player on the field.
Yeah, so
he doesn't really do much against anybody else in the league.
Yeah, but
he owns the Washington Commanders.
We're not good enough on defense.
Like he's fine. He's a good player, but he played like a great player yesterday.
Sure.
I mean, you look at his game logs heading into yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't have any game close to what he did last night to the Commanders.
No.
On his resume this season.
Right.
Now, he's done it before. Blitz in the past.
Sure.
But I mean, that's to let him go for 108 rushing and 67 receiving. Like it's inexcusable.
Now he had a great game, but we're fatally flawed on defense.
Yeah, it's unfortunate they can't stop the run.
Too bad.
You know, usually when we're talking about the Commanders' defense, we focus on the secondary.
Yeah.
And maybe the secondary had some problems, but
they're not great either. But they were the culprit yesterday.
It was the defensive line yesterday that just couldn't stop the run.
That's why I say it's the defense as a whole. Because one week it's the secondary, another week it's the run stopping. That they're so schizophrenic, right? Like going into that game, and it basically played out again. In losses, our defense gives up like 30. Yesterday, we gave up 24. In wins, they give up 13.
Now, to be fair, because of the turnovers, the defense wasn't in the best spots.
Yeah. They're just not that good.
Yeah, but that's still a game you have to win.
Yeah. I hang the loss on Jaden.
Even if the defense played poorly, you still have to win that game. Based on time and score,
and they're right there. Right there. They're probably not even going to give the ball back to Chicago.
Probably not.
Or at worst case scenario,
kick a field goal.
Then Chicago has to score a touchdown with limited time left.
Yeah,
You're going to win the game if you take care of the ball.
I agree with that, but it's hard to win games when you allow the other team to rush for 5.4 yards per carry. You turn the ball over multiple times.
If they would have won it, it would have just been because of the greatness of Jaden.
Right.
You know, and he was great, you know, for a lot of the game.
They missed another field goal. I know everybody loves to just brush aside the kicker.
And it was kind of the difference. I mean,
yeah, it was big.
Now they blocked a field goal, too.
But they did block one.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be fair, they blocked a field goal and they stopped a two-point conversion.
And look, the Bears were very fortunate because Jake Moody has been cut by the 49ers because he wasn't very good. And he went in there. Now, he had the blocked field goal, kicked the ball a little low, but he had four. He made four, including a game winner. So they were very fortunate. The kicker and he was replacing the Bears' other kicker.
I know. Cairo Santos was questionable. Sadly, Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara did not get to 20 carries. If they had converted that first down, he may have. He's very close, 17. So I lose the $2, JP. Mark me as paid on that.
Thank you.
I mean, Bill was trending towards 20 carries.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Well, what can you do?
That's a tough loss, boys.
That's a really tough one.
It's especially
and
tough.
And it makes the next game a must win. Well, it almost makes it a must win.
Not sure if it's a must win, but it's
well,
a big
based
one.
On the schedule, which we talked about yesterday, after you play Dallas, then you're going to play three playoff teams.
Yeah.
Including the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Look, this team can still get to the playoffs. You mean the league is unpredictable. You don't know how teams are going to play each week.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Bills lost last night.
I mean, when you
who had the Bills losing to the Falcons last night? Anybody?
I probably wouldn't have picked that if I'd gone to the window with a bet, but
no, but the Falcons, when they're on, and they've got one of the best players in the league.
And Drake London.
Actually,
you're
two.
Talking about Bijan Robinson.
Of
Drake
course.
London had a massive game,
yeah,
too.
Two of the best players.
And Penix played well.
Penix played well.
We saw that against the Commanders. He has that in him to do that.
But that was the game last night, man. You just... And obviously the elements had something to do with it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think the weather was going to be a factor, and it clearly was.
Because he fumbled it twice. He recovered his first fumble.
He recovered the first one.
And then he has the fatal fumble at the end of the game.
Remember that the pick... That was a bad throw. I mean, Debo was wide open.
Yeah, he was late on that, late on the throw.
And they gave away points there. I mean, they at least get three, if not seven. So that was a huge turnaround as well.
Here's the thing about the league. Right now, out of 32 teams, there are only four that only have one loss. Like, even the best teams in the league, you know, that you would say are the best teams just based on last season and the start of this season.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills, they've got two losses. Eagles got two losses. The Chiefs have three.
Yep.
No, like there's from a record perspective, they're totally fine.
That are 4-1.
The problem is they're fatally flawed. They're not that good. So they have a star quarterback, in my opinion, who blew this game. But he's a stud. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But this defense is fatally flawed. Can't win with this defense consistently. We can maybe get to the playoffs. We can maybe win a game. But it would literally take an act of God week after week to do anything special with this defense.
Well,
where I'm at.
They'd better be ready to score at least 30 next week.
Right, you got to score like 100.
The Cowboys are going to score 30.
Well, the offense, the offense had one punt.
Right.
So I think the offense the last 2 weeks is looking a lot like it did last year.
Better.
You had turnovers this game. That's not good. But Tressway was on the field one time.
Right.
You had a missed field goal. You put up 24 points even with that. So you don't throw an interception. Maybe you get points there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
for sure you do.
Definitely get points.
You maybe get points on the last drive because you fumble.
For sure.
You know,
you do.
Worst case scenario, he recovers the fumble and they kick a field goal. Now, outside of gimme, you're right. Anything outside of 49 yards.
Oh, yes.
Is not a gimme for
it's
Matt
very
Gay.
Very dicey.
We talked about it. He was 3-for-9 last year on over 50.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, right on 50. He hits the post.
Yep.
Loudest doink ever.
And there were the elements played a part. I mean, there was some wind down there, and there was certainly rain. So maybe that had something to do with it. I'm not going to blame the loss on Matt Gay.
No. It's fine. It's just not going to be a magical season. It's not going to be a magical season.
Yeah, I think my 11 or 12 win prediction,
it's over.
That's not looking great.
But, you know, might make the playoffs, but it's not going to be magical.
But some of these teams that have good records that we think are going to the playoffs. I mean, their defense isn't great. I mean, the Bills' defense isn't great. The Eagles' defense isn't great.
Yeah, there are a lot of teams struggling.
Tampa's defense isn't great.
Right.
Last night, the defense certainly wasn't good because DeAndre Swift just did whatever he wanted, but you turn the ball over 3 times and you don't force turnovers, you're probably going to lose.
The Commanders' current playoff probability, 38% after that L.
Yeah.
They're sandwiched between the Panthers and the Cowboys.
But there's no reason, honestly, I don't know. I think
it's higher than that.
I might even pick the Cowboys this week, who knows? But there's no reason why they can't beat them. And they'll be right back in the playoff hunt, whatever. But they're just not that good. It's not a complete football team. There's some flashes. Love what I see from Jalen Lane. You got to give it up to McCaffrey. Jaden's a stud. We're doing a lot of this without our star wide receiver. Debo was a non-factor last night. You know, he's going to be more of a factor in other games.
He didn't look right.
But it's early in the process. Hopefully it continues a steady ascension, but we're not winning a Super Bowl this year. It's a hard reality to accept. We're not winning a Super Bowl.
You tell me the outlier here for DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm.
53 yards rushing, 3.1 yards per carry. That was against the Vikings. 63 yards rushing, 5.3 yards per carry. That was against Detroit. Against Dallas, 2.5 yards per carry. Against the Raiders, who are terrible, 2.7 yards per carry. Against the Commanders, 7.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, he's...
I mean...
He was the factor
last
night.
He's clear of his second best by 2.4 yards per carry.
Yep.
That is inexcusable. Like, you're just... And they still had a chance to win the game.
And he had 14...
They were going to win despite it.
He had 14 carries in the game, and I don't know, 4 or 5 of them were on the final drive.
Right.
Maybe more than that. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the play-by-play. But, yeah, I mean, he was just... He was just killing it. He had a big 15-yarder on that final drive. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the touchdown reception was huge. Quan Martin with the missed tackle. It was just one of those games, man.
Well, I just think it's indicative of that we're not very good on defense. And we got to score 30-plus.
It's got to be shootout city.
We've been saying it for a few weeks. You got to score 30. I need the team to score 30. I think we were going to do it yesterday, but, you know, Jaden's mistakes prevented us from doing that. If we don't score 30-plus, we're probably going
to
lose.
If you want to call us on a terrible Tuesday, you're welcome to do that at 800-636-1067. Coming up on the show today, John Keim will join us. Of course, he covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. He'll be on with us at 8:20. And we'll talk to Von Miller, Commanders edge rusher. He joins the show coming up at 9:20. We're the Junks on the Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
They're down and one. Ball's on the ground. And it's recovered by Nashawn Wright.
Joe Buck on the call last night on what was, without question, the biggest mistake of a game littered with them last night. I think for the first time in the 24 games he has played as Washington's starting quarterback, and in one of the 8 games that he has started and lost, Jaden Daniels was a big reason why they lost. There were other reasons, but as he described it, his lack of focus on that play was costly. Washington is 3-3, and they deserve it. Good morning, everybody. Max is with me. Ben will join us later in the show. Your chance to weigh in about an hour. I've got a pretty long game take, list of things that I liked, and there were things to like, but a lot more things to not like from a disgusting 25-24 loss to the Bears on what turned out to be a much wetter and breezier and sort of depressing night in Landover. You know, you look at this game after the fact, but even during the fact, both teams made enough bad plays to deserve the loss. Washington just made more of them. And now, at 3-3, with a brutal part of their schedule, at least as it appears now, coming up, their season is a bit in the balance, hanging in the balance. They have road games at Dallas and Kansas City in the next two games. They're going to face one of the best offensive teams in the league with, let's face it, one of the worst defenses in the league once again. They're going to go to Kansas City on a Monday night, and then they get to come home against Seattle and Detroit. This is a four-game stretch before they go to Madrid that I think has a chance to tell the tale on Washington's 2025 season. They better win at least two of these games in right now what is a loaded NFC. Whew! That one was a bit unexpected. Look, I felt like Chicago could win the game, talked about it all week, but I didn't expect them to win it. I thought it would be a tight, hard-fought game. Didn't expect Washington to lose it, not the way they did lose it. It was a bad start to the night. Once again, a slow start. Fourth time they've been down double digits in a game. They were down 14-0 against Green Bay, down 10-0 in their loss to Atlanta, down 10-0 last week against the Chargers, and down 13-0 last night against the Bears. And they recovered, and they had an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they had the lead with the ball a couple of times up 24-22, but they didn't do enough to win the game. And this one hurts. It hurts for the larger picture in the NFC, and it hurts because in the interim, we've got a lot of questions that are starting to get answered, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This is one of those games, by the way, as the great Ken Beatrice, the pioneer of sports talk radio in this town many, many years ago, used to say about NFL games, more games are lost than won, he would say with his New England accent. Not well done by me there. And last night was the perfect example of that. Washington lost the game more than Chicago won the game. And they lost the game. It starts with -3. Turnover margin is the go-to if you don't watch a game and you're just wondering, reading a box score, who won and how it happened. If you see a -3, 95% of the team, the team with the -3 in the turnover margin lost the game. You don't need to look at anything else. It is a death sentence, -3. That is too big of a differential. You know, -2 last night, they may have overcome. They overcame a -3 last year at home against Philadelphia in December. They turned it over 5 times. They got 2 back, but it was -3, and they won a game. But 95% of the time, -3 equals a big L. And last night's -3, 2 of those are on the quarterback. Because, let's face it, you know, in the games that he has played in, and we're talking now of the 24 that have been played since he arrived and started, they've only lost 8 of those. And in most of those 8, you couldn't point to Jaden and say, yeah, he was the culprit. He was the major reason. Got to do it this morning. Got to do it. Because those 2 turnovers, the last one in particular, were deadly. The first one they were able to overcome. When you throw a first quarter interception, which, by the way, was on him. definitely on him. The throw is late. He's made that throw before, but he was not on time. He was late. But they overcame that. They had a lead. You can overcome a turnover early in the game, you know, against an opponent that you are actually, I think, better than. Not last night. But you can't overcome what he called, quote, a lack of focus, close quote, with just over 3 minutes left in the game on a wet field with a wet football on a botched fumble. That has to be supreme focus, not lack of focus. He did a hell of a lot of good things last night. They're not in that game last night without him. I mean, I think everybody understands that. But the two turnovers, and the last one in particular, the lack of focus with a wet football, with the game on the line, on third and one, did them in. Did them in. All right? That is a mistake that you cannot make in that spot. He's got to be better. So you have to call, for the first time, I think, really, I don't know. Some of you called him out in the Philadelphia game last year on the road. Short turnaround against Vic Fangio. Didn't play that well. Didn't play that well against Dallas in the season finale in the first half. But last night was the first legitimate moment of his career where he's going to take some bullets. And he deserves them for the loss. Sure, the defense could have stepped up and bailed him out on the final Chicago drive of the game, but did you have any confidence at that point that it would? Because what has emerged here in recent weeks is the bigger, larger season-long concern. The defense isn't good again. It's got areas in which we thought it had made progress and it was improved. But the bottom line is, if they're not playing Russell Wilson's Giants or Geno Smith's Raiders or an absolute demoralized and decimated Chargers offensive line, they have been bad. Bad against Green Bay, bad against Atlanta, and bad for different reasons last night. The reasons being more like last year's reasons. Couldn't stop the run. It was an embarrassing final drive. Embarrassing. A true no resistance final drive after the quarterback made a killer mistake. Defense could have still bailed them out. Third and five, easy pitch and catch, like backyards, you know, father and son to Loveland. Are you kidding me? It's third and five? You're going to leave this dude wide open for an easy pitch and catch first down? And then to let DeAndre Swift run Jake Moody from a 50-plus yard field goal into a chip shot with barely even touching him when you know run is coming? They're trying to run the clock out. They're trying to make Washington burn their timeouts. And you can't stop him from running for 34 yards on five carries to make the field goal super chip shot easy? Zero resistance on that final drive. Embarrassing final drive for Washington last night. An atrocious night overall for the defense. The worst night of the year against the run. Looked like last year. That's what it looked like last year, all season long. Gaping holes, bad tackling, no edge setting. This was a team that couldn't run the football coming in. Couldn't run it. DeAndre Swift, 7.7 yards per carry. Why didn't they give it to him more? Like, I was looking, you know, during the game, I'm like, shouldn't they be running even more? It's kind of like the Detroit playoff game. Like, Ben Johnson forgot that Jahmyr Gibbs was running through Washington's defense at 10 yards per clip. DeAndre Swift had 14 carries in the game. You know, Caleb Williams had 29 pass attempts. Flip that around, and Washington gets run out of the building. Ben Johnson against Washington. You know, Gibbs last year should have touched. I think it was Gibbs who had 14 carries last year when he should have had about 24, and that would have never been a ball game. He was averaging 10 yards a carry in the first half. Swift goes 14 for 108, 7.7 yards per carry. A bad rushing offense against what we thought was an improved rush defense. That last drive was infuriating, though. You're pissed when Jaden botches the fumble handoff, and it's on him. You know, you didn't know until you saw the replay. Aikman was giving you kind of a heads up. You can tell Aikman gets it in his ear before they show the replay, saying, I'm not sure Jaden ever had, you know, control of the ball. I don't think he saw it, but somebody saw it. And then they played it back, and he didn't protect the football. It's a wet football. You play outdoors sometimes in the NFL. And when we get into, you know, October, November, December, the weather can be bad outdoors. It was a crappy night last night. But my God, it's not like they took over in field goal range. You know, Chicago, after the fumble, started at their own 44-yard line. Oh my God. The third and five to Loveland. Cover somebody, please. People are wide open. Thank God Zacchaeus dropped that ball from the 3-yard line. He's still running if he catches that. Bad night for the defense. Bad night for Jaden because of the two turnovers. But the season-long big picture is we're right where we were last year. Superman's going to have to wear the cape every week. There's no margin for error with a defense that's going to play this kind of defense against capable NFL teams offensively. Caleb threw for 252 last night, and he was inaccurate all night long. 252 and a touchdown. It should have been about 352 because Zacchaeus should still be running 97 yards for a touchdown. Adunze had the touchdown on a terrible illegal formation call. The ref on ABC came on and said, that's not a legal formation on the left tackle. That should have been a touchdown. The Bears had 381 yards of offense. It could have easily been 481 and more points. And by the way, it's not like the Bears' offense is so much better than Russell Wilson's Giants or Geno Smith's Raiders. It's getting better, and they've got Ben Johnson, okay? He is a play caller, for sure. He is a designer, and they change things up. You know, coming into the game, on the show yesterday, I said, look, they've had a week. What are they going to change? Well, they went with less, you know, one back, two tight ends, 12 personnel, more three wide receivers out there last night than we have seen. We saw them blitz more. I think those numbers will reflect that. We saw them play more in the box against the run defensively. I think the numbers will show that. I wrote down at least six different times in the first half where they had almost eight and a half in the box on an early down. You know, Dallas is a lot better than Chicago offensively. Kansas City, they'll have Rashee Rice back, a lot better than Chicago is offensively. The Seahawks, much better. Detroit, much, much, much better offensively. They got some tests coming up, man. And because they're not making up for it with takeaways, with opportunistic, you know, plays here and there, they had a couple last week. Okay, and those were huge plays in the game. They're going to need a couple of those every week, and they're not a takeaway team. They've got three through six games. Three. Only two teams have fewer than three, and they've one of those two teams has played one less game. If you can't stop people consistently, if you don't have a wrecking crew pass rusher, if you don't have a game-changing, game-wrecking pass rusher, which they don't have, you better somehow do what Chicago does. Take the ball away. They now have 12 takeaways in five games. 12 for them in five games. So you got to figure it out defensively, or over these final 11 games, Superman's going to have to don the cape at least another seven times. And he did it last year 12 times. You're going to need it at least another seven to have a chance. And last night he did it, but he made too many mistakes. And those mistakes were clearly on him. just not a good night overall. Really, really rough night. And really leaves you with the thought of, if they're that bad also against the run, where are the answers defensively? Where are they? Quinn's got to figure some crap out soon. He's got to figure out why his defense doesn't cover and then makes up for it by being bad against the run and not a good takeaway team. Because you can't possibly be a legitimate deep into the postseason threat if you can't get off the field consistently against Chicago. My game take next.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
After it was raining last night in that game, Jeff, this is a perfect song right here. I don't know if I can.
Are you guys covered where you do your show?
Yeah. But Jay, didn't make a difference. That wind was blowing through that thing like it was a damn wind tunnel.
Yeah.
And it had the little misty rain.
Yeah.
It was coming sideways, dog. So didn't make a difference. Logan roll over there with no sleeves on.
I saw.
Yeah, but he had them little chill bumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cold, damn it. Don't be trying to make you like you're so tough.
If
you wasn't cold, you wouldn't have those little goosebumps popping up.
It was pretty miserable. I mean, I was out there. I had live hits all afternoon. It seemed like the weather stopped at kickoff but came back in like the fourth quarter. I do not believe weather is why they fumbled. Do you?
No.
Jaden said, he's like, I just lost concentration on it.
Yeah, and see, that's exactly how you handle it. I messed up.
Right.
And you move forward. But people still want to say, well, the rain. No, the man just told you he lost concentration. Move forward. I think in these situations, the football player mindset might be what we need to go on. Because what they are taught is to get past it, get over it, and move on to the next. But the whole thing is, player can tell us what it is. We're going to still tell you what we think the player is trying to say.
Right.
And if they went to a game, they did what they know they're not supposed to do, lose the turnover battle, and they lost the damn football game.
Yeah, dude. That's, I mean, right. You had three. You're minus three in turnovers. Like, you're just not going to win. It's just really not going to happen. And I think we're not really used to that.
At all.
Definitely not used to Jaden making a mistake in that kind of moment. It's weirdly like unheard of at this point.
When I heard it last night, heard him talking in a press conference, I smiled. Because it took me back a few years back. When there was another quarterback, no situation.
Sure.
What you think he would have said last night?
Probably not the same.
Yeah, so,
hey. It's funny. I was talking with one guy after Jaden, and he's like, man, don't you want him to be more pissed off? And I was like, I don't. Being pissed off, some of that stuff's performative. Like, it doesn't really matter. Jaden was plenty pissed off, but he just kind of keeps his composure in those situations. And I think, specifically, I want to ask you, B, about the slow starts.
What do you make of the slow start? How do you fix it? Whose fault is it?
I can't make nothing of it because I've watched this same team with the majority of the players that are on it that were on it last year. They didn't have that. I'm kind of dumbfounded at what's going on. I know Dan motivates and promotes the hell out of get these guys ready to go. I know there are players on the team, like they may be low-key guys, Jaden and also Bobby, but those guys are highly competitive guys. But when we go, they go on the field and things just start, so I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know if it's something you could talk about, whatever, or is it just something has to click. You know, like somebody sent the text this morning, in another text I'm on, saying, like, they play well, and you start seeing things getting better. They're starting to have a little bit more confidence in themselves, younger people and other people together as a whole. Could it be they just, last year what they did was something so great? Are people just afraid to just let it go and see if they can be that again? Or people don't think they can do it again? You know what I mean? Like sometimes when you've seen what's capable, it makes you nervous, you know? And the way you get over nervousness is just, drop every damn thought you have and just go let it hang out and go for it. You know what I mean? I think they got to just go. Hell, we was like saying, Luke got to start showing us something. Has Luke shown you something in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So
he still doesn't get a ton of targets, but he's making them count.
He don't have to get a ton of targets. When it counts, he makes it happen. And what happens with that is you start trying to find more targets for him.
Sure.
Okay, we saw Lane going up the sideline. I was like, damn, who the hell is that? He was flying.
Yeah, it was a great move, too.
So when you see those things happening, those young guys are getting a lot more confident. And then you start to, like for me, I have to pinch myself and pull myself back from thinking when 17's back and number one is even more healthy and you got those guys now with some experience, the possibilities. You get what I'm saying? And I don't want to get ahead of anything. I want to just see the next game. But when I see those things, it makes you start to wonder a little bit.
It just a really disappointing, honestly, I would not have seen it go that way. But, dude, let's be real on, I mean, at various times, they started way too slow, obviously. But even when they went up 24-16, so they get up 8. And there are some that argue you go for 2 there to make it 9. Even if they go for 2 there and get it, then it's 25-25 at the end of this thing. But, dude, you have that really good drive. 6-play, 63-yard drive. Jaden finds Ertz for the touchdown. You have an 8-point lead with, I don't know, 10 to play in the fourth.
Yeah.
Play a little defense.
Yeah.
How about the DeAndre Swift catch for 55 yards?
Yeah.
The tackling on that was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, you had guys just push them out of bounds. That was a joke.
That, you know, 100% pisses me off.
Yeah.
The tackling aspect, this team and people around the league, I hate that. And I guess that you wonder why I kept about tackling so much. Because I can tell you like this, when I was playing ball, that weak-ass attempt to push somebody and bump somebody would have never took me down. And I would have loved it. So, but I know if a guy grabbed me and wrapped up, you know what I thought about? Let me go down before the second person come to hit. Let me go down before the second person come in and go low and hurt me. So when you wrap up, I went down. So I don't know. Listen, there have been a lot of strong dudes in the NFL. Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, they all squat over 600 pounds. I did too. But when you got a 200-pound dude wrapped around your waist or around your ankles, your ass going down. You're not going to keep running. And damn sure not full speed. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So until guys learn, look, grab and hold on till somebody come. But you just pushing somebody, that stuff don't work. That is pathetic. And listen, I know that those players always get all times of little types of little fine things going on. I suggest, leaders of the defense, if you bump somebody, push somebody, forearm somebody, and they don't go down, fine their ass $100 every time it happens. They'll stop doing it. And I know maybe, $100 ain't nothing. No, $100 is something to anybody when I got to pay a fine. When it's a fine, the price doesn't make a difference. It's the fact that you're paying a fine.
The tackling stuff is remarkably terrible, and that play specifically was, I mean, just, that's about as important of a spot to have something like that go down as you can imagine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah, there's a question this guy. I just got this question from Jim from Rude. I think it's Jim from Rude. Yeah. He says, slow start or mistakes at the start? Because you look at last night, you had an interception and a fumble. They were going in to score on that first one. The other games where you get the ball on first down and you lose yards. So is it a slow start per se? They're coming out not ready to play, or they're coming out and they're not executing early? You know what I'm saying? I can go with that. I think if we look at the game against Atlanta, our first play was trying to jet sweep and we lost 2 yards to Debo. The game in Green Bay, I think we also went 1-2-3 out.
I do agree with you. The Green Bay loss was worse because they just looked completely hapless.
But like, the first drive was 3 and out, and I don't think we might have not gained but 2 or 3 yards, if that. Probably lost yards. So could it be that our first play stuff has to be a little better? Something where, you know, when you got a shooter in basketball, what they tell them? Get the first layup, get it to drop, and then everything start falling.
Right.
How about just a little quick pop to the tight end? A little drop back, the running back go and hook up and hit him for 6 yards. You move the ball, you give yourself favorable second down yardage, and you move forward. But if that jet sweep don't work and guys stay home, you can lose yards on that thing quickly. Or it could break. But we've seen in most games our early plays have been stopped.
Yeah, I mean, not much has gone right, dude. Last night they had a chance to steal a win, and they coughed it up late. That's just the reality. They didn't really play well enough. But you give up a 55-yard touchdown catch right when you had pulled ahead is about as bad as it gets. Now, credit to them, they did stop the two-pointer. Otherwise, that game would have been tied. I have significant notes from last night. At one point in the second quarter, B, my note to myself. Mm-hmm. So I take notes throughout the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I wrote was just an ass kicking early. Now, early doesn't mean that's how it has to go the whole time, but that was the slow starts, dude. I don't know what that is, but it is a problem. You're down 13-0 this week. You were down 10-0 last week. The Atlanta game was ugly early, and then defensively they couldn't get stops. I don't think that Chicago team's that good.
Watching that game last night, listen, I'm going to tell you, Washington's a better football team. Jaden's a better quarterback. But I'll just say this, the best team don't always win.
Right.
They just made less mistakes because when I was looking at that game early on, and even as he went through, I look at quarterback rating, all that stuff, and 5 was still better, even with the turnover.
Quick break from us. Let's open these phone lines up. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Who you mad at? Commanders now 0-2 in primetime with a lot more primetime games coming. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Really as painful a loss as the Commanders have suffered in a couple of years.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross here, and it was gross last night, and watching that game was exasperating. What a blood-boiling, unforgivable, infuriating loss that was. And I think people are pointing to the bad plays, understandable, the Daniels interception, the fumble late in the game, Bill's fumble, of course, and those three things happened. Those are, to me, more one-off incidents and are frustrating and miserable when they happen, but I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be fumbling handoffs routinely. I don't think he's going to be turning it over and not seeing a defender and throwing an errant pass too late all that often. He was so good at taking care of the football last year and had been through his starts this year. There are sustainable, irritating, exasperating, inexplicable problems that aren't individual plays. The fact that they can't start games until the middle of the second quarter, bewildering, Ron Rivera-esque, inexcusable. Another lackluster, bored, complacent, we'll see what happens. Eventually we'll start turning it on and trying to make a game of it. I mean, after being down, double digits again. They outscored Chicago the rest of the way. But, you know, you dig yourself a hole, no margin for error. Errors happen, you end up losing. Tackling, I mean, we'll go through all the different bads, but, you know, that touchdown to DeAndre Swift after the play clock, by the way, was at zero for nearly a full second, whatever, just a multi-billion-dollar league. We'll figure that out, I guess, at some point. But you can't bother to push the guy out of bounds, and Marshawn Lattimore sort of jogging around aimlessly, not doing anything of impact on that play. A microcosm, man. What a frustrating loss that was last night.
Yeah, I was trying to think about the last time, if you're a fan of this team, that you were that mad after a loss. Because they've suffered losses where they got outclassed. Think about the NFC Championship game to the Eagles, and they lost five games last year to good teams. But a game that they just should have won. Danny, when you're watching the game and you go, you're probably better than the team you're playing, and with several minutes to go, the chances are, you know, analytically, that you're almost certainly going to win. The last time they lost a game like that, and I had to go back to the Jets game in 2023 when Greg Zuerlein kicked the field goal heard around the world that allowed them to pick second and get Jaden Daniels. I think that's the last time against a inferior team that they had a win in their hands and kind of fumbled it away, literally in this case, but figuratively for the sake of the conversation. And I think that's what's so hard is you snatched a defeat out of the jaws of a victory last night. And that has not been what they do as part of this operation under Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. When you come out and you have a lead late in games, you put those games away. But you talked about it. There's a lot of different ways we could go today. Some major issues. We knew defensively they were going to give up a lot. I actually think, you know, you look at it, 25 points against the Bears coming off of a bye where they allowed 19 points effectively. Actually, three drives of 36 or fewer yards. So 16 points that were earned with drives beyond 36 yards. Their defense bent, but it didn't break. I think more often than not, while they have plenty of things to clean up, like, you can win with that performance. The three turnovers are the biggest story. But when are they going to start playing football in first quarters? You know, when is this offense going to go on an early game drive or come out with some energy and some emotion? Their slow starts, this is a full season of this now, Danny. They were lethargic against the Giants. They were down 14-0 against the Packers. They were playing the Raiders at home when Vegas was on a short week, and it was kind of a who's going to score first, nobody wants to. They had 10 points going into, you know, the halftime, basically, in that game. Then they're down 17-7 to the Falcons with 5 to go in the half. They were down 10-0 to the Chargers, L.A. moving the football last week. And then they spot the Bears 13. 10 points with 3 minutes to go or so in the third quarter last night before the big play to Luke McCaffrey. What is with these starts, and why can't they fix it?
I have no idea. If I knew, I would obviously prescribe it immediately or you know, give somebody a pill. But to me, it looks like a team that just is expecting things will happen, magic will happen, because it did last year. Last year, the seas opened up for them, and Jaden Daniels put his cape on against inferior opponents, and they crushed everybody. There's no magic. Like, there's a target on your back. There are expectations now. I understand losing a game on the road on a short week to Green Bay. You go back and forth with them, the way they were playing, that's going to happen. Atlanta, you know, that loss looks a little bit less terrible in retrospect now that they did what they did to the Bills last night. And that's an okay team coming off a weird aberration loss against Carolina. But Atlanta's fine. But again, being dominated for 80% of the game isn't okay. But those losses don't look as bad. It's when you're dealing with a team, and Chicago is aggressively mediocre. They gave you multiple first downs. They got a touchdown wiped off the board because the left tackle just wasn't standing in the right place. Nothing Washington did. Four different first downs via stupid penalty that had nothing to do with the play. And they're terrible. They wanted to give you the game just as much. They're so okay. And that's the level that you were at last night.
I don't even know if the tackle did anything wrong, to be clear, on that play. I thought it was a terrible call. But I'll take it. I'll take some of those along the way. You need a few of those as the year goes on. Toby actually texted me, and he used his Toki phone. He's got different phones.
Yeah,
during the game last night, he picked up the Toki hotline, and he said it's almost like, you know, guys never practicing affects how they start these games. And I said, ooh, that's good. I'm using that. But it's true. I mean, when you go – some of this is injury-related. I understand that. But a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is just taking care of guys. But they'll go through the week – and look at the injury report. This guy's not going for rest, and that guy's not going for rest. And it's part of trying to navigate a full season with 35-year-old Bobby Wagner and 34-year-old Zach Ertz, and, you know, the oldest roster in the NFL. But either practice matters or it doesn't. And I say that not to, to do some tough guy thing as much as to say, yeah, it stands to reason when you have a roster where you just can't grind like a young team might during the practice week, you might get off to some slow starts in games. I think that's reared its head. I'm ready to slam the gavel watching the Chiefs as the healthiest team in the league that takes camp in the preseason the most seriously of everyone in the league. They're one of the few teams in the entire NFL that still goes away and sleeps in dorms and, you know, has legit hard physical practices and occasionally tackles to the ground. And they got Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback of his era and maybe all time when it's all said and done. And he's playing in preseason games for a quarter at a time. And they're the only team in the league this week without anybody on their injury report. It's almost like it helps, right? But I think there's something to that with their practice weeks as well. But they have to fix that. There are things I'm not sure that they can fix, Danny. Like defensively, you and I will go round and around as a show, and so will everyone else in town, breaking down the chunks that they allowed, the big plays, the explosives they're on the wrong end of all season long. That's probably not going away. There's not a fix walking through that door. But you should be able to figure out as a staff how to alleviate these slow starts because they have absolutely killed them. I think you just said something important too. I think why I'm so upset today about this loss is mainly because it was self-inflicted. It felt like with the three turnovers and the kind of inexplicable and excruciating rain fumble at the end of the game by Jaden Daniels. But the Bears tried so hard to let you win this football game. I mean, how many times did you go, thank God, at Chicago?
Yeah.
If this was Kansas City at Arrowhead in a couple of weeks, or if this is Seattle after that, or Detroit after that, the brutal part of the schedule coming up, game's over. But it's the Bears. Whether it's – I just jotted a bunch of these down. I'm going to read through them rapid fire here and then tag you in. These are things that I would call, thank God it was the Bears. Dumb Montez Sweat roughing penalty negated a 3rd-and-8. Caleb Williams underthrows Roma Dunze wide open deep. Chicago has a completion called back for an OPI they didn't need to commit to set up a 2nd-and-20. They gave Washington 4 auto firsts with penalties. You talked about that. They have a face mask on a 3rd-and-6 before a punt or go decision in plus territory. Daniels' first fumble bounces right back to him. I guess that has nothing to do with the Bears, but that's lucky. Illegal formation takes a touchdown off the board. Caleb misses Zacchaeus on the sideline. Easy 10 to 15-yard play. Bad snap on 3rd-and-1 before the blocked field goal on what would have been probably a conversion. And then how about Alameda Zacchaeus dropping a ball where he might have gone for a 60-yard touchdown?
That was a touchdown.
With nobody around him.
That was a touchdown. I mean, it wasn't like it hit him some weird place. It wasn't like it went off his shoelaces. That hit him right square in between the breastplates. I mean,
do you
right
think
there.
He scores on that play?
I do.
Because he's running across the field with Wagner. He'd leave him in his dust. I think maybe the safety makes the play, but it's a huge gain if the safety makes the tackle, which, go back to the 55-yarder in Sweat last night, is not a guarantee.
No, sir, it is not. DeAndre Swift doesn't do that. I want to be very clear. DeAndre Swift doesn't do what he just did. Came into this game with one game of over 3.1 yards per carry. Last night looked like Gale Sayers. The last time he went over 100 total yards was also against Washington. So this is the kind of thing that drives me insane. It's my Dillon G All-Stars corollary. I understand when prime Hall of Fame superstar does prime Hall of Fame superstar stuff to you. He does it to everybody.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson gets you. You got God.
Yeah, you got. Ask Buffalo about that last night. Ask Buffalo what they think about that dude that nobody stops. When Saquon Barkley's going for $2,000, he goes for 110 against you. Yeah, all right, that's what he does. I understand that. It sucks, but I understand it. When a guy that doesn't do it, when a team that comes into this game as the worst run defense we have seen in the modern era, 6.1 yards per attempt, dominant 85 Bears, Mongo McMichael, Richard Dent, Mike Singletary.
Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera, but pretty much. Thank you very much for bringing it up. Move to the side. This group of Jags that cannot catch a cold is knocking dudes stiff into the dirt. They were awesome against running backs. And then on the other side, they can't run the ball worth a lick against a good run defense. Washington's run defense is good. I have data that supports that. They, at one point, I don't think that's true now, but they were in the top three in rush defense DVOA in the entire NFL. Gone, mauled, mushed, pushed around. When it happens out of character, and they'll go back to normal, by the way. The Bears will go back to not being able to stop the run and not being able to run it, but it happens in prime time and it happens last night because it matters to my team. Infuriating to me. Infuriating when that happens.
Yeah, the Commanders find themselves now 17th against the run in yards per play at 4.2 a pop. After it's gotten a little leakier, my fear after the Dietrich Wise injury as an edge-setting presence and a physical player on the outside was that they'd struggle with some outside stuff. And boy, has it happened. I mean, Bijan Robinson, again, that was going to be the case. But the Chargers did some pretty good things on the ground against Washington. And then yesterday, the Bears had whatever they wanted. But you're right. I mean, we're kind of just now building a cake of anger and just throwing ingredients in at this point of like, and you know what else annoyed me about last night? But it was all of the things that went against type from the season. The Bears come in not being able to run, and then they go for 145, including non-Caleb Williams, 23 attempts for 147 yards. They come in not being able to stop the run, as Danny said. Washington, worst run game offensively that we've seen them have so far this year. They were not terrible. They were okay. But non-Jaden Daniels division, because he saved their bacon, it was a 21-attempt, 72-yard game where they averaged a little over three and a half. This was like last year's run game with Brian Robinson.
And it wasn't anything designed, and Daniels kept it a couple times. They sniffed those out. They had those pretty well scouted. It was his scrambles on miraculous, awesome plays that saved their bacon. When they handed it off, it wasn't good. It was less than 4 yards a pop.
Daniels was special in the decisions he made as a scrambler last night, and he really did legitimately give them a chance. I understand that they lost the game on his fumble and that he turned the ball over two times. And so on the net ledger, not all plays are created equal. And the bad interception, which was really bad,
it was
in the red zone when Debo's wide open in the end zone, and Ertz is underneath wide open, and the read should probably go to the back out of the backfield there based on, you know, the cover three they were running and how they were doing things. That play is worth a few really good ones. The fumble at the end is probably worth five really good plays. Like, not all plays are created equal. But I think, you know, you look at PFF's grading today, it's a really clean sheet for him as a passer in terms of the decision-making, the accuracy. I thought it was another step forward. But overall, he made the play at the end so many times to win last year. Early this year, generally, you put the ball in his hands, you count on him to win you a game, and with the ball in his hands, they lost this particular game. Very, very rare. I mean, that's now the balance sheet is like 10 good, 1 bad in that area, but this was the bad one. And I will say, I know fans don't always care about this. Some of you might. I certainly do. The way he handled his post-game presser last night was so awesome. I love this guy as a person. He is almost as good or maybe better than he is as a player. And I'm talking about him handling the media at the microphone. He is the opposite of some of the diva young quarterbacks that you will occasionally see, where he blamed himself for the loss, probably not even completely true, and said, I lost us the game. Basically had the opportunity. Someone said, what about the weather? It was a slick football. You fumbled two times today. He goes, I'm not going to sit here and blame the weather. I get paid to not worry about the weather. God, I love that dude. Like, what an awesome answer that was from him, and I just want to give him credit for that. But, yeah, you're playing a team that can't run it, and they run it. They can't stop the run, and they stop the run. You never turn the ball over three times all year. You turn it over three times. Matt Gay hadn't missed a kick in almost a month. He misses a big kick last night. And the result is your worst loss since Week 12 against Dallas, and probably the most maddening game you should have won that you lost since 2023.
Yeah, I you know, listen, those individual moments that we're talking about, the turnovers, are discussion worthy. We will discuss them. I don't – that to me is not part of a larger trend, right? Like, I'm not worried about Jaden Daniels all of a sudden becoming a turnover machine. I don't think he's going to – next time he goes to scramble, he's just going to drop the ball and have it bounce back up to him like he did last night. Like, I don't
totally
think,
but you agree it could still be the reason why they lost last
of course
night.
I mean, of course,
different conversation,
of course,
right?
But here's the point I want to make. They can't tackle. That's sustainable. They're going to give up big chunks all the time. Unless the offensive line that they're playing against is garbage and terrible, they can't really get home all that often. They don't harass enough. The slow starts, these things that have happened, they got no takeaways again. Like, the things that have plagued them and are the issues were also the issues last night. Yeah, and you're still in position to win the game against a Chicago team that's, you know, just very mid, very okay, you know, an 8-9 kind of team that is looking to give it away to you in their own right with all their penalties and stupid mistakes and the like. And, yeah, some things didn't go your way in terms of those one-off turnovers and bad moments. Those, again, should be discussed. To me, it's alarm bells that they can't force turnovers at all. Like, at all. They've got 3 through 6 games. Like, That's a hallmark of worst defense in the NFL type stuff. I'm not saying that's what they are, but that's the company you're in. A group that creates
no pressure. Well, they dropped
multiple
interceptions.
Yep.
Frankie Louvo on the fourth and one had a ball, hit him in the chest, didn't catch it. And Mikey Sanristil would have had a goal line interception on the second straight game. Remember that, was it a third down play, I think it was, before a field goal. He has a ball that hits him right in the chest, basically, and it goes through his hands, and he can't catch it. I think PFF had three turnover-worthy plays for Caleb Williams. I'll be honest, I don't remember the third one. But I can think of two dropped picks that could easily have been takeaways. And you see around the league more than ever the punch fumbles. I mean, how many times now, Danny, that you're watching a game? I used to be Peanut Tillman did it and nobody else. Now every player in the league is punching the ball out, it seems like, every time someone's got a football. Washington didn't go to that class. You know, they didn't have that one on their schedule in third block to go to punch the ball out to force a fumble class. But it's time to maybe put that one on the itinerary, because you're right. Again, there's only two games where they've gotten takeaways out of six this season, one of the lowest totals defensively in the NFL, and it was a problem for major stretches last year as well.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.